Welcome to this week's Sunday School lesson. As we continue our study, I encourage you to open up your Bible, turn it to 2 Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 2, 2 Timothy chapter 2. The title of our lesson today is Labor Diligently for Christ. Last week we saw that the Holy Spirit used Paul, the Apostle Paul, while he was in prison in Rome. And he used him to write this second epistle to young preacher Timothy. Paul was about to die for his faith. He suffered for Christ. Christ suffered for us. The apostles and the early church members suffered for the cause of Christ and was benefited from their suffering. We, as Christians, can expect to suffer. We need to suffer in an attitude of joy because God is maturing us and making us more like Christ, conforming us to the image of his son. Timothy, young Timothy, became one of the Apostle Paul's most devoted companions. Paul knew that Timothy was going to endure a lot of opposition, a lot of persecution, a lot of mocking, and a lot of suffering. So he warned him to be strong. Chapter 2. Verse 1, thou, therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. The Apostle Paul loved young Timothy. He loved him like a son because he had led him to the Lord and he discipled him and mentored him and tutored him. And just like a father exhorts his son, the Apostle Paul exhorts young Timothy to be strong in the grace. Notice he was not to be strong in his own strength, but in grace that is in Christ Jesus. We were saved by grace, and Jesus gives us more grace. James chapter 4, verse 6, but he giveth more grace. Notice, too, that Timothy had to make a decision to be strong. Jesus gives us the grace we need to make us strong, but we have to stir ourselves in his grace. Ephesians 6:10 says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. God has provided what we need to make us strong. It's our job to put on the whole and responsibility to put on the whole armor of God that he provided. And you can read about that in Ephesians chapter 6. Back to our text in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men, who shall be able to teach others also. Timothy could count on the sufferings, even to the point of death. Many of the early Christians became martyrs for their faith. Timothy and other men of God were to teach what they had heard and learned and sound doctrine to faithful men. In other words, they were to pass it on. Being a Christian should be like a sponge. We should be soaking in everything we get, and then we should wring it out and give it to others. They must have done a good job of it, because here it is, 2,000 years later, and we're still benefiting from it. So what was Timothy to commit to others? Things they had received from God and nothing else. There have always been false teachers trying to distort the truth. But Timothy was to commit the truth to faithful men who were able to teach and pass down those truths. Paul, and of course under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he used three analogies to make his point. We're going to zoom in on these three analogies. In verse 3, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." So now we see the first analogy, a soldier. Paul knew it was only a matter of time and Timothy was going to be up to his eyeballs in afflictions and persecutions. He needed to be ready for a fight. It was going to come. As Christians and especially ministers, we fight under the banner of Christ against his enemies and for his cause. And he is the captain of our salvation. A good soldier will not turn and run when the battle begins. A good soldier will put on the armor, load his gun, fight till death if necessary. Verse 4, "No man that warreth entangled himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." A soldier's goal is to please his leader, carry out the commands of the leader, the one who chose him to be a soldier. When a soldier's on the battlefield, he's not thinking about the affairs of the world. Could you just imagine you're out in the battlefield and a soldier comes running up to the ranking officer, and even when the enemy is approaching, and says, "Sir, I got to get to the bank before it closes. I need to deposit my check that I just got. Can I be excused?" No, that's not what a soldier on the battlefields are thinking. He's thinking about survival. He's thinking about defeating the enemy. He remains focused. As Christians, we're in a spiritual war. We're Christian soldiers. Satan is our enemy. And if we want to be good soldiers, we need to please the one who called us. We're to serve Jesus, please him, no matter what comes our way. Let's look at this second analogy in verse 5. "And if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully." So this second analogy is a champion athlete. Several times in Paul's letters, he refers to Christians as athletes. We're to strive lawfully. If we compete, we got to go by the rules. If we break the rules, we'll be disqualified. Well, the Bible is our rule book. If we're playing a ball game, we would know the rules. As a Christian, we need to know and obey the rule book. And then the third analogy in verse 6. "The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits." So now we find a working farmer. If we want to win the prize, we must run the race. And if we would be partakers in the fruit, we must labor. Not only do we have to labor, we must labor like the husbandman, the gardener. the farmer with diligence and patience, and then the crop will come in. When the crop does come in, we'll be able to enjoy the first fruits. The analogy of the soldier relates to dedication. The athlete and the farmer emphasizes the promise of a future reward. Loyal servants of Christ will be eternally blessed by God. Also, we have the joy of seeing lives changed. I don't know of anything better than having a part of someone getting saved. Verse 7. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. Timothy needed to consider what Paul was teaching him. Paul prayed that the Lord would give Timothy understanding. We need to pray that the Lord would give us understanding in all things. It is the Lord that gives the understanding. Even the most intelligent people need more and more of this gift from God. James 1:5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask to God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. Paul wanted Timothy to especially remember the gospel when times get tough. We're to look to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despised the shame, and has now sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And you can read about that in Hebrews 12:2. Verse 8. Remember that Jesus Christ is the seed of David, was raised from the dead according to my gospel. Paul preached the gospel. Don't get sidetracked. We need to remember that Jesus died for our sins. He was buried and rose again 3 days later. And it's Jesus, the only way for salvation. Verse 9:10. Wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. The incarnation, death, resurrection were so important to Paul that he was willing to lay his head on a chopping block than to deny the truth. But praise the Lord, it should encourage Timothy, and it should encourage us today. Paul was bound, but not by the gospel. The gospel was not bound. It was still going forth with Timothy, and yet 2,000 years later, it's still going forth. 2 Timothy 2:11. It is a fateful saying. For if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. That's the significance of baptism. We're to die to self and live in Christ. If we're dead to this world, to its pleasures, its profits, its honors, we're going to live with him in a better world. Though we suffer for Jesus, we will not lose. Verse 12 and 13, if we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, ye he abided faithful. He cannot deny himself. Here's a warning against apostasy. Anyone that denies Christ is not one of his. That person will be miserable forever. And if we're unfaithful, he is still faithful. Our salvation does not depend on our endurance, but it depends on his faithfulness. I'm glad God is faithful, and I'm glad he cannot lie, and he cannot deny himself. Now, some people has this doctrine of the sovereignty of God all mixed up. They say, well, God is sovereign, and therefore, he can do anything he chooses. He can even change his mind about salvation. People who believe in hyper-Calvinism, they try to misuse God's sovereignty to say that he picks and chooses some to go to hell and some to go to heaven. Yes, God is sovereign, but not the way they believe. There are some things God cannot do. Whoa, Brother Tommy, what are you saying? Yes, there are some things God cannot do. The Bible says that God cannot lie. Now, I sure don't want to call the Bible a liar and say he can lie. If the Bible says he cannot lie, then he cannot lie. When the Bible says up in our verse that he cannot deny himself, he cannot deny himself. Amen. He is sovereign, but there are some things he cannot do. He is faithful. Over in Titus, we looked at a couple weeks ago. In chapter 1, verse 2, it says, in hope of eternal life, here it is, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. Also, you can find that in Numbers 23:19, 1 Corinthians 10:13, and of course, here in verse 13. God cannot lie. He cannot deny himself. There are some things that God cannot do. 2 Timothy 2:14. Of these things, put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. So after encouraging young Timothy to suffer for Christ, Paul now directs him on how to make it his business to edify those under his ministry. He's not to argue the word of God, he's to proclaim it. Now that word subverted means turn upside down or ruin. Arguing only hurts the cause. Verse 15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Ministers must be workmen. Their goal is to be approved of God. What are they working at? Ministers are not to invent something new, but their responsibility is to rightly divide the truth. Now that takes a lot of hard work. That takes a lot of study. That takes a lot of prayer time. Study is hard work. Ecclesiastes 12:12b. And much study is a weariness of the flesh. If you're not familiar with this verse in 2 Timothy, highlight it, learn it. A lot of people will twist the Word of God to say what they want it to say. But if you want the Bible to line up with your philosophy, you can take verses out of context and prove your point. Lazy, unskillful, unfaithful ministers have to be ashamed because they don't rightly divide the word of truth. If you hear me, if you hear our pastor, you hear a preacher, a teacher, or any church leader say something that does not line up with this Bible, study it out. Let us know. That word study means to be diligent. If you hear it at Morningstar, we do teach truth, but sometimes we may have a slip of the tongue. And it could be sometimes that we may teach something or preach something that you don't understand. You need to just study it out. Come and talk to us. We'll help you. And then, of course, if we made a slip of the tongue, then, of course, we apologize for that. But be ready to study it out. When you see something, when you hear something, and you don't understand it, study it out. Study it out. Some of us are too lazy to study. We'll hear a teaching, we'll hear a preaching, and we'll want to go call the preacher and everybody else. Tell me what all that's about. Well, let me ask you, have you done your due diligence to study it out for yourself? And yes, there's still a lot you may still not understand. And if you don't, then yes, seek out the preacher, the pastor, the leaders, the teachers. And maybe we can give you some direction, and maybe we don't understand it either. I can tell you that I've been teaching for a long time, and I sure don't understand it all, and I don't claim to will have ever get to the point that I'll understand it all. I don't believe I will ever arrive, not here in this world. But I'm going to do my due diligence. Every time I teach, I want to study. I want to make sure that what comes out of my mouth is truth, and it lines up with the Word of God. Verse 16, of course, that's the only truth if it lines up with the Word of God. Verse 16 through 18. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they'll increase unto more ungodliness, and their word will eat as doth the canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already and overthrow the faith of some. Paul mentions these two men that were apostates, Hymenaeus and Philetus. They were apostates. They erred. They taught error. And the Apostle Paul was warning against them. I've heard some people say, well, our pastor shouldn't mention some of these false teachers. He shouldn't call them out by name. Well, Paul did. If you know somebody that's out there preaching and teaching false on the TVs or wherever, yes, it's the pastor's responsibility to warn his flock, not to listen to them. Timothy was to take heed of error. And a lot of people just shows their ignorance, like these two men that Paul mentions. They were teaching that the resurrection had already taken place. Therefore, everyone alive missed it. Paul's warning Timothy, and he's warning us today, to shun, to flee from false teaching. Verse 19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his. Praise God. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. We're on a solid foundation. It's solid as a rock. It is the rock. I'm glad the Lord knows who belongs to him. I'm glad I'm sealed. This refers to ownership and protection. God knows who's in his family. But if you have doubt, there's a test. If you're his, you'll depart from iniquity. You do not want to live in sin. You do not want to do continuous sin. And the Lord, if you do and the Lord doesn't take you to the woodshed, that's a good sign, something's wrong. How can a child of God continuously live in sin? Now, I'm not saying that we never sin. Of course we do. Maybe it's a bad thought. Maybe this. Maybe pride. Of course we sin. But if we continuously, on purpose, sin, then there's something wrong. Need to check up. We're not saved by works, but if we have real faith, it will work. If you tell others you're a Christian and you don't depart from iniquity, you're bringing reproach and shame on your Heavenly Father, as well as the church. And you're a stumbling block to others. God looks on the heart. If you're sinning, he knows it. If you sin openly or hurt others or the church by your sin, you need to confess openly if you sin openly. And repent, which is a military term saying, I'm going to make a 180 degree turn and go the opposite direction. If you've had a bad thought, confess it privately. God hates sin. And if we're right with God, we'll hate it too. Verse 20 and 21. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also wood and earth, some to honor, some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. Can I just say God only uses clean vessels? You may be saved this morning and God won't use you. Why? Because you may be a dirty vessel. Some dishonor the Lord. Some dishonor the church by their corrupt opinions and wicked lives. And others honor and credit the Lord in the church by their godly lives. Are you an instrument of honor or dishonor? Psalm 24, 3 and 4. Who shall ascend unto the hill of the Lord? Or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully. Those who are faithful in coming to church, reading their Bible, praying, departing from iniquity, purposing in your heart, saying, I'm going to do my dead level best not to sin. I'm going to do my dead level best to honor Christ. I'm going to go to 1 John 1:9, and I'm going to confess my sin, and I'm going to clean this vessel up, and I want to be a clean vessel that's meet for the Master's use, that He can use me. I can tell you, I can say this. If you're usable, God will use you. Now, that "if" is a big two-letter word. Maybe you will, maybe you won't. But if you do, He will. Verse 22, flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Are you following after it? Faith, love, peace. That should sum up every Christian's life. We should not trust and worship the Lord in singleness of mind. We should trust and worship the Lord in singleness of mind and the purity in heart. Follow after righteousness. Our righteousness is as filthy rags. So we don't follow after our righteousness. We follow after His righteousness. That righteousness means He's always right. And we always want to follow that which is right. We need to increase our faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. We need to hear more of the Word of God. Get more in the Word of God. Charity, that's love. The Bible commands us to love. Even love our neighbor, even love our enemy. Especially to pray for their soul. To witness to them. Peace. That peace that passes all understanding. The only way to have true peace is to know the King of Peace. The Lord Christ Jesus. That's where the peace comes from. Isn't it? Isn't it such a blessing? When you go to bed at night and you're right with God and you've done what God is expected of you throughout the day, and you pray and you read your Bible and you strove to do the things of God, and then you lay your head down on that pillow, and then you just have that perfect peace. A lot of people are so stressful and wired and freaked out, and they need the peace of God. With them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. That's the only way you can call on the Lord. The Bible teaches that if we have iniquity in our heart, He don't even hear our prayers. So we have to follow after Him with a pure heart. We got to be prayed up, confessed up, and usable with a pure heart. Verse 23. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. We talked a lot about this. Don't argue the Word of God. Declare it. Proclaim it. We got too many Christians today that wants to sit around and argue the Word of God, even in front of a lost person. Don't get bogged down in this. I've had a lot of lost people that I've even tried to witness to that wanted to turn around and argue the Word of God. Well, what Bible do you use? What do y'all think about this? And what do y'all think about that? No, don't get sidetracked. Don't argue. There is no need arguing the Word of God with a lost person because the Bible says that they can't even understand it anyway. So why would you want to argue with the wall? Or somebody that can't even understand the things of God. Know when they argue with you, when they come back at you, listen. Get back on track. If it's a lost person, you should have a one-string banjo. And that's to get them to Christ. No matter what argument they throw at you, no matter where they come from out of left field, get back on the subject. You need Christ. You want the answers to your questions? Well, first of all, you got to have Christ. You really want to understand this Bible that you're arguing about? Well, you need the Holy Spirit living in you to teach you. There's nothing I can say to you to drive it in your head to make you understand it, because you can't understand the things of God until you get saved. And then the Holy Spirit will teach you and interpret it for you. Line upon line, precept against upon precept. You get saved and then we'll sit down and talk and answer your questions. But don't argue with me if you're lost. You need Jesus. You need Jesus. Verse 24 and 25. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. If God, the peradventure, would give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth. Acknowledging of the truth. We're to stand on the truth. Too many fundamental independent Baptist Christians that are mean-spirited towards others and even have different beliefs. We're not going to win anybody to Christ. We're not going to change anyone's beliefs if we go attacking them. We need to show them love. God loves you, drunkard. God loves you, drug addict. He loved you so much, he sent his only begotten son to take your place at Calvary. Don't wait till you get off of drugs to come to Christ. Come as you are. The Holy Spirit will help you get off of them. None of us could ever get good enough to come to Christ. Again, the Bible says our righteousness is a filthy rags. We can never get good enough to come to Christ. We have to come to Christ just as I am. That's sort of like using the analogy of fishing. You don't go cleaning the fish before you get them in the boat. No, you got to get them in the boat first. And then you can clean them. People has to get saved before the Lord will clean them up. Because if you don't get saved, you're not one of his. Your father is the devil. Now, that's not me being mean. No, no. That's what the Bible says. You're of your father, the devil, if you're not one of his. We need to stand on truth. Stand firm, but yet humble. And instruct them and let God do the changing. We can't save anybody. If anybody out there is listening to my voice and said, Tommy Smith saved me, you're going to bust hell wide open. I may have introduced you to the one that can save you. You have to believe in Jesus Christ and Him only. He's the only way. He is the door. You got to go through the door. No other way. No other way. It takes the Holy Spirit to change a life. It's our responsibility to tell them the gospel. Proclaim the gospel. And then pray that the Holy Spirit will put them under a Holy Ghost conviction. And that they'll say, yes, Lord. I'm a sinner. I want to repent of my sins. I want to ask Jesus Christ to come into my heart. I want to be saved. And I want to live for you. And I want to love you. And I want to spend eternity with you. Save me, Lord. It's our job to proclaim it. It's the Holy Spirit's place to save them. Verse 26. Our last verse. And that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who were taken captive by him at his will. If God changes them, he'll free them from the snares of the devil. Preacher Maccabee used to tell us in Bible school. He said when the Lord comes back, it's going to be a rescue mission to get his children out of here. This world is going to be so wicked. Perilous times. We're going to be studying more about that later on. We're in those last days. All you got to do is look around. But until he comes back and gets us and rescues us out of this, we need to labor diligently for the Lord. I hope you got help from the message this morning. Again, I would encourage you to go to morningstarbaptistchurch.com. That's our website. Click on the link, Preaching and Teaching. You'll find some past Sunday school lessons. You'll find them all for this quarter. You find a lot of good preaching by our pastor and other preachers as well. Also follow us on Facebook at the Morning Star Baptist Church. If you don't have a home church, if you're out there listening through the Facebook or website or links, if you don't have a home church, I invite you to come to Morning Star Baptist Church in Packard, South Carolina. If you're not in a good Bible-believing church, I invite you to come to Morning Star. We're going to preach the Word. We're going to teach the Word. We would love to have you come visit with us. If you're saved, we'd love for you to serve with us. If you're lost, we'd love to show you Christ. Lead you to the one that can save you. Thank you for your attention. May God bless you.